Well, you guys need to go out there and tell a couple of your family members and friends, maybe even your neighbors, encourage them to come. If they don't have anywhere they're spending Easter, maybe come here. This is going to be a special treat to have Wayne singing and performing, and then also hearing the Bible live from a biblical character. That's going to be really fun. Well, we're glad you're all here. We have the kids in here today for a special reason. Go ahead and you can show our little collage of pictures and show you some of the things that our kids do throughout the year. Now, we have midweek ministries for children's. One is called Girls Ministry, previously known as Missionettes. And we also have Royal Rangers, which is our boys' mentoring ministry. And we have some camps coming up this summer. It's coming really quick, and we have a couple of camps the kids just love. The girls' ministry, of course, they have their week-long summer camp. And then our boys have what we call a camperee, where they'll go away. We're thinking maybe Southern California is where they may go, and we have camps there. Now, this last Wednesday, I went into the girls' classroom and said, "Girls, we have a camp that's coming up, and girls, don't be discouraged." I said, "It's $300." And right away, two girls said, "Too expensive. We can't go." And so we try to encourage them to live by faith and to know that God will make a way for them if we just, you know, we told them, yeah, amen, right? Yeah, clap. So the kids say, yeah, okay, all right, well, we'll pray about it. And encourage them that there is a way. God will make a way, and he has in the past. We've been doing this camp for years. Reason I share that is I want you to be praying about and thinking about when our kids head to camp in June. We have a few months. Be thinking about what you can invest in their lives, because the future givers like yourself are seated right over here. And so we want to invest in their lives and in their family. So I want to thank you for all the support that you have been doing, both prayer-wise and financially as well. We want to thank you for that. Kids, I'm going to let you guys go and stand to your feet. We're going to pray for you since you're here. And then we wanted you guys to come and see the choir and just be in here for a little bit. And we're going to go ahead and pray. So, folks, if you don't mind, let's just point our hands towards our kids, and we're going to pray for them. Lord, we love you. Thank you for our children. Of course, we are blessed. You've entrusted each and every one of them, Lord, their lives in our hands to raise them up in your ways, according to the Bible. And we thank you. And Lord, we just pray you'd help us to do even a more effective job in their lives. Lord, as we, the church, rally around these kids, teach them the Word of God, and we trust that at home the same thing is happening there as well. God, keep them safe, encourage them, don't let them grow weary, Lord, in their faith and their belief as they go out into their schools and their neighborhoods, and maybe they don't hear a lot about Jesus, and when they do, it's negative. But God, help them to stay strong in their faith and to be a light in the midst of their friends and their family. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to let our kids march out. Let's clap for our kids as they march out. They can go ahead and head out through the back there. Thank you so much, Miss Mary. Thank you, Eddie. For taking care of our kids while I've been fortunate enough to come up and speak this morning, as this Sunday is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, folks, is monumental. It's a celebration time for us as we see Jesus for the very first time, actually by his actions coming into the town of Jerusalem, placed on a donkey. Is actually, he's making his first statement and declaration that I am the king. And he was pretty humble up to that point and didn't really declare being the true Messiah because he knew that God's plan was not to be played out and fulfilled at that point just yet. But it's a great time for us as Christians because we see that in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that prophecy that the prophet Zechariah had shared years previous, in fact, 500 years previous, declared that there would be the true Messiah coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, the colt, the baby of a donkey. And that was to declare that the true Messiah was to come. And so we see how that played out. We see how great God is. And he set it up to where the donkey and the colt was placed somewhere else remotely and that it would be available. And the disciples went by the word of Jesus. And they went there maybe thinking, are they even give us the colt? And God had set it all up, and Jesus knew, and they went, and sure enough, they gave him that colt and brought it back. And Jesus sat right on top of that colt, and it was monumental that he marched into the town of Jerusalem. And of course, the people, you've heard the story, the people were cheering, excited about their true, soon-coming king is here. And they weren't praising for some type of Messiah. They were praising and excited because they thought this leader was going to come in and free them up from the Romans that were making life very difficult for them. So they were cheering because they thought they were going to get something from all of this. And they wanted Jesus to be the one to lead them in that revolt against the Romans that were oppressing them and making life very difficult for them. And so they took their cloaks and they placed it on the ground as a sign of royalty and of victory and triumph. And they placed the branches, right, the palm branches. We have the name Palm Sunday, laying the branches down before Jesus. And the people were excited and cheering and shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest, which means save us, rescue us. And they weren't wanting to be saved from their sin. They wanted to be saved from oppression. And of course, the priests and the Jews, priests were running around and they were whispering to each other, who is this man? And why are people cheering him and not us? And they were beginning to get ready to have a plan to get rid of Jesus and to send him to the cross. And so we call this the Holy Week. This is the week now where it really is the beginning of the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth. So it really is a bittersweet time, but we see how Jesus has played out so many great miracles throughout that week leading up to his crucifixion. I want to encourage you and challenge you this week as you go into your devotional time, as you're reading this week and go into Matthew 21 or midway through some of the four Gospels, and you'll see how Jesus entered into Jerusalem and read some of the different things that he did before he was arrested and before he was taken and before he went through all that he did for you, as the song had, we heard in the songs that he loved us so much and his blood was spilled out for each and every one of us. We're gonna go ahead, guys. If you have that video, since it is Palm Sunday, it's a celebration that I love and I'm excited about it. And I want to go ahead, we're going to play that video. We just got about 2-minute video of how it actually played out. So everything I just shared, we'll get a little bit of a visual on that.
Who is this Jesus of Nazareth?
He's a prophet. A great prophet.
A prophet? On a donkey?
Blessed to the healer of the sick! You have come to deliver us!
Isaiah said, Jerusalem, daughter of Zion, behold thy king!
Master, you are the hope of Israel.
You are our prophet and our savior.
Jesus the prophet, save us. Bless us, Master.
Heal me, Master.
And that is the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And so it is bittersweet. And we see how Jesus has that concerned, somber look on his face because he knows the people are chanting and cheering for this general to come in, this leader to come in to conquer the Roman soldiers. And so they're excited about that Roman government. Jesus didn't do that. He came in humbly. He came in not to conquer forces, but he came in to conquer hearts. He came in to conquer minds and their ways of thinking. And Jesus did not come in by force. He came in on that donkey, which is a symbol of a king coming in for peace. not for violence, not for conquering enemies. And Jesus was, as we know, totally opposite from the ways of the world. And we've learned that as we read the Bible, and hopefully we're learning that in our lives as well. And so I encourage you this week to read some of those stories of the miracles that Jesus had done and played out before he was betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas. So I'm excited today. My story is not really about the Palm Sunday, but it is about this. It's about how Jesus entered into my life, his triumphal entry into my life, and how my life changed because of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about that as you think about the triumphal entry that Jesus made into your life, when that happened, and where are you at right now at your journey, in your journey with Jesus Christ. If some of you had read the bulletin and pastor's, the pen of the pastor, and he had shared some of the things going on in my life and my family's life, there's some monumental things that are playing out in our life as well. And one of the greatest ones is my wife and I, this past couple weeks, we celebrated 20 years of marriage. And it goes by really fast, I would say. Honey, you think so? Yeah, goes by quick. And what a beautiful time that we have had together. We'll be celebrating actually next month. We're taking a little vacation, just us and the family, and we're just going to hang out. My wife also, we shared how we're going to combine that with another monumental thing that's happening in my life. And this year, can you guess how old I'm going to be this year? Pastor didn't say, so guess low, would you? Thank you, Rod. Love you, man. 30 years old. Unfortunately, these days, you know, they've always guessed low, but as I get older, they're getting closer and closer to the age. Listen for one more. Shout out another one. I appreciate the 40s. Love it. Unfortunately, I am turning 50 years old next month. Wow. And so that is bittersweet. I thank God I've survived for 50 years, and I hope for another 50. But we'll just see how the Lord has all that play out. I like to read funny birthday cards. I was trying to find some good ones, and it is so hard to find any decent cards these days. Half the time, you know, I'm in a hurry, and I'm looking, and half of them aren't even appropriate. And I'm standing there thinking, I could write better than this. You know, maybe I should have a side job and write greeting cards, because these people are not funny. But this one is a little bit humorous. I like this. It's kind of a country boy right there, and there's an outhouse in the back, and it says that a thought for your birthday. Getting older is like making a trip to the outhouse, it says. And can you imagine what it's going to say? Everybody's got to do it. It stinks, and you're glad when it's over. And that is so true, isn't it? It doesn't really stink. I mean, I'm happy to be where I am at my age, and it is hitting me a little bit. You know, last month I bought my first bottle of Centrum vitamins, multivitamin Centrum Silver. Okay, 50 plus for ages 50 plus, and so I get my emails on my phone, and yesterday I see this email that says. It is, I think it's singles.com. I wrote it down. I don't see it. Singles.com seniors 50 and older. When did that happen? Is it 55 or what is it when we get our card and all that stuff? 55? Oh, that is too soon. Vic's over there like, yeah, well, get used to it. Vic's been encouraging. And so not only that, but guys, this year, next year really, I'll be celebrating 30 years of being a child of God, being a Christian, 30 years. So praise God for that. I remember I had a friend who really helped me come to know Christ, and I watched this person, and you know, she was a Christian for 10 years at that time when I just got saved, and I thought, wow. I remember thinking, where am I going to be 10 years from now as a Christian? And 10 years later, I was actually here and in ministry for the very first time. And so it's exciting to know that, you know what, I didn't fall away from my faith. I stayed strong all the way to the point where I went into full-time ministry. And that's kind of what I want to share with you today. I just want to have a little bit of fun and want to share, you know, what helped me to get to where I am today? What helped me to stay true and strong in my faith for 30 years? Because you know that it is not an easy thing to stay faithful to God. Let's be honest. Okay, some of us, you'll say amen. Some might even say, you know what, I've been faithful to God, never wavered in my faith for all these years. But it is a tricky thing, and it is a difficult thing. And even if you've wavered in your faith, what's important is that you get back on your feet and you get back on your relationship, in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what God cares about, because he is there with open arms and he loves us. But let's go back in time here a little bit. And before we do that, I want to show, if you're ready with the photos I have, we're going to show you some photos today. And here's one that may be interesting to you. This one, believe it or not, okay, babyface Pastor Mike, all right? This is a picture that Trinity took of me when I first got here for all their the promotions and brochures and all those types of things. That was when I first got here. And one of the deacons said, did you see the new guy they hired, this 18-year-old? And in that picture, if you did the numbers, I'm 30 years old in that picture. They thought they hired a kid. And they did hire a kid in ministry because I was really new to it. But so you can see now, there's me then, here's me now. See what ministry does to you? See what you people do to us? No, we love you guys. You guys bless us more than you know. I was born in 1964 in L.A., California. And my parents, they divorced when I was about, I must have been 1, 2, 3 years old. I don't even know how old I was. I never really asked the questions, how did all that play out, Mom and Dad? And so in Southern California, and was born in 64, and they divorced when I was about 2 or 3 years old. And my mom got custody, and my mom immediately moved back up Northern California where she had lived originally. And there we were as kids, me and my brother. I have a brother that's 1 year older than me. And Northern California was a fun time as kids. My mom gave us all kinds of freedom that we wouldn't normally give our kids today. Because I remember we would go out into the forest where there's trees everywhere, and we would run around. And there was vineyards, and we would run around and grab grapes from the vineyard. And they were kind of sour. They must have been wine grapes. They weren't all that great. We'd go into the creeks where there was berries, and we'd pull them. And we'd collect them, and we'd eat them, and we would go to places where, I remember one time going to this one place where this train would come around the corner. There was trains everywhere. My brother and I would sit there, and this engineer, I guess he did the route quite a bit, and every so often we'd be sitting there waiting for that train. We can hear it honk, and we'd have like pennies and nickels on the track to get them smashed, by the train. And he would come by, and he would honk that the horn and all that, and sound the horn, and he would throw candy out to us. And we would catch that. And those were the times that we had as a kid. As time went on, once we became about, I'm guessing ages here, 4 or 5 years old, I remember my mom coming to me. My mom had a rough time. And she remarried in that time. And there was some trouble in the home. And she came to me. And I look at it now and I think, my mom loved us enough to have be careful with our lives and have us safe. And at that age, I didn't know there was any big problems, but she sat us down on the steps and she said, do you and your brother, do you want to live with me or do you want to live with your dad? And we didn't get to see our dad much. He was down south. We were up north in California. So little kids, of course, the first thing, we're not going to be able to really think this thing through at all, And so right away, we just said, we want to live with dad. And so off we went to Southern California, and our dad came and got us, and we went down to Southern Cal, and they had a big party for us and celebrating. But we were without our mom. And this morning, I just want to say thank you for grandparents, because my grandmother became my mom. My mom, unfortunately, we disconnected from her. I don't know why. Never asked her. Don't really care. We're reunited again. But we were disconnected from our mom for about 10 to 12 years. And thank God for my grandparents, because I didn't really feel like I missed out on a whole lot because I had my grandmother. And she didn't mess around. I mean, she chased us down. She was German, and she was an immigrant. And she learned English here in the States. And she would chase us boys down with the Kochlöffel, if you know what that is, a wooden spoon. And she would come and get us. And boy, she could have a mean look on her face. But boy, great memories with my mom. If you guys want to show, or my grandmother, there's that second picture there. There's, let's go back, guys. Don't go too fast. On the left there is me, of course. See how white my hair is? Isn't that something? I was a towhead. And that's my brother right there. And so we came down, and that's where we started living with our dad. But thank God for grandparents. And my grandmother and grandfather, they were very devout Catholics. So that's really when my whole spiritual life and foundation began. And my mom, she's an evangelical, but I remember going to church a lot when we were with her. And so this is where it all started. I started as a Catholic boy. And my dad actually put us in a private school. Now, my dad was an immigrant as well. He came over from Yugoslavia at about 12, 13 years old. So when he came to the States, they lived in downtown L.A. You know, that's back in the 50s. Even then, it was a rough area. And I don't know if they didn't know better, but the Catholic Church helped bring them over. And they found a place to live. And my dad wasn't in the best of high schools. He was the minority in his high school. He got bullied a lot. He got picked on. He didn't speak very good English. And so he had a hard time. And so my dad was determined that his boys were going to be safe and they're going to be in good schools. And he scraped up everything he could, and he put us in private schools, and he put us in St. Dominic Savio in Bellflower, California, at our elementary school. I always remember looking over across the street at the public school and wondering, what is it like over there in that other school over there? And well, I thank God that he sent us to this private school. Why? Because there was a foundation that was being built in my life as a young boy. That's why it's important for us to keep our kids, keep our grandkids in church, because even if they're taking in a whole lot, remembering a lot, processing a lot, we're building foundation in their life, as the Bible tells us, that if we raise our kids up in the way that they should go, then later on in life, if they were to depart, they will come back. And that's why it's important to have that. And so elementary school, private school, learning about God, you know, the best that they could teach us. And from there, we went into high school. Right across the way was St. John Bosco. And there was believe it or not, I went to an all-boy high school. That's pretty rare. It still exists today in Bellflower, California, St. John Bosco. And that was a great experience, you know, hanging out with all my buddies. I love music. I love cars. I was a true California boy. You can show that next picture now. And that's me right there by the blue Volkswagen. And my I like to brag about this a little bit. My car was on the cover of a magazine. And that's me right there at about probably 16, 17, 18 years old. Not easy to see, but I did have a perm, if you want to kind of focus in on that and see that I got some curls there. And so, I you know, I loved cars. I loved working on cars. And high school was great. And I had a good experience there in high school. And we had a sister school, so don't worry about anything. We had a sister school. We'd have dances and things together. And it was a good time. But once I made it through high school and graduated high school, there was just a season in my life where things started to fall apart. About 21 years old. And I was just a little bit discouraged in life. I had a girlfriend, and she's my girlfriend through high school. We were engaged, and that came to an end, not by my choice, and that threw me even deeper into this discouragement in my life. And because my foundation in Christ was not real deep, I was a creaster for the most part. That was my dad, not my grandmother. That was my dad. And we would go every so often to church. So it wasn't real deep for me. And I started to fall into this sadness in my life and this depression. Didn't really know where to turn. And I thought to myself, you know, why don't I go get a book? Maybe go get a book on thinking more positive. Or, you know, I was trying to think of what to do. So, you know, I run down to the bookstore. And I go in there, and I think I must have asked the lady, where's books on positive thinking or psychology? And so she leads me in this direction over here, and I start looking through the books. And I'm not one of those guys that'll pick up a book and read the back, okay, what is it all about and everything. I just want to look at the title. I'm in a hurry, and so I go, and I look at a few books, and I see the one book that says The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And on there it said, read this book and change your life. So that was good enough for me. So I grab the book and I get in my car and I throw it on the seat and I think to myself, man, I hope this isn't some spiritual thing. You know, I hope it's not a religious type book. And so I get home and sure enough, Norman Vincent Peale is a Methodist pastor, an ordained pastor. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be like a Jesus book. And so I bought it. I didn't take it back. I started to read it. And the book started to just encourage to trust God with your worries. Trust God with your problems. And there were scriptures in there, and there was mentioning of God and trusting Him. God is all that matters. Now, I won't endorse Pastor Peel just because there are some things there that people were concerned about. But all I know is that I read the book, and it kind of springboarded me into this relationship with God that I never really heard of before or experienced. And so little by little, God does His great work. And I remember all of a sudden stumbling across, I'm starting to pray now more. The book encourages to, pray to God in your own words. Don't pray in fancy words. Just pray in your own words. And thank God for all that He has given you. Don't just ask for things, but thank God for all that He has given you. And it encourages don't even say anything sometimes. Just think about God. Just listen to God. So I'm doing these things. Usually I was used to, praying repeated prayers. And so this was new to me. I started reading the Bible. And so I'm reading the Bible, not totally understanding it, but I always prayed this prayer before I started to read. And I'd always say, God, help me to understand your word. Help me to live it and have it sink down in my heart. And I would pray that prayer every time I read. So I started praying. I started reading. And all of a sudden, maybe days later, I told you I love music, so I'm turning the radio, and all of a sudden I come across a Christian radio station. And these guys are singing about Jesus. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I love this. I have a new radio station, KKLA, 99.5 in Southern California. Boy, that changed my life. I started listening to Christian singers now. I'm listening to, you ever heard of Amy Grant? I'm sure you have. I remember I had a cassette, Straight Away was the name of the cassette. Brian Duncan, another one that changed my life with the music I listened to, and Phil Driscoll, and so many more, that listening to this music, getting this music, this counsel of Jesus into my heart, into my head, was starting to transform my life. You see what's happening here? I'm praying on a daily basis. I'm reading on a daily basis. I'm filling my head. I'm no longer listening to the music I used to listen to. And because there's a transformation happening in my life, and it's going deep down into my heart and into my life and making a huge change. And so God is working on my life. And so I'm at work at one point, and I happen to run into this young lady. I work in a restaurant. She's a waitress. I'm a cook. And somehow we start talking about church. And we start talking about the Lord. And I remember telling her, when you go to church, take notes and bring them. I want to see, what your pastor is preaching. And so she does. I remember her bringing me notes. And one time she invites me to a revival. She invites me to a Dwight Thompson revival. We've had Dwight Thompson here before. Dwight Thompson is actually Pastor Randy's brother-in-law. And boy, what an evangelist and a powerful speaker he is. Amen. And so I go to this revival, and here I am. I'm new to all this. I've never even stepped into a Christian church. At this time, I'm going to Catholic church. I'm going every Sunday faithful because my life is changing. And I'm going midweek now to Mass, me and like three other people, midweek in the morning, just because I'm falling in love with Jesus. But I'm not sure how all this works, and so I'm staying faithful. And so I go to this revival, and Dwight Thompson is doing his thing, and he's preaching up there, and he's bringing it, and I'm just like, wow, this is pretty great. And then he does that altar call, and he just encourages people, if there is sin in your life, if there's something going on in your life, if you want to know Jesus Christ for the very first time, you want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand. And, I'm open to, I'm just the kind of guy that, I'm a game player. Yes, let's do this. I raise my hand, not knowing any better that they're going to call you forward. And so I raised my hand, and really, to be honest with you guys, it was about everybody has sin in their life. I kind of felt like I had this good relationship with God, but He was calling for those that had something going on in their life. And at the time, believe it or not, I was a smoker back then for about 7 years. So here I am, my life's changing, but I'm still having struggles with this. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm blowing it. Okay, yeah. And so He calls us forward, and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to go up there. And so sure enough, I walk up there. you know. And he's doing his thing, and he's praying, and he leads us in the Lord's Prayer. And I pray that prayer. And to me, that was the monumental moment in my life where that triumphal entry of Jesus entered into my heart and into my life. And that was a time I just can't forget. And I envision that in my head. And that's a special time for me. And that same night, I was introduced to a friend of mine who is a mentor in my life to this day. And that individual is a youth pastor back then. And that was Pastor Randy Greer. That was a monumental time in my life. I remember meeting him, and I don't know if he's going to listen to the CD or not, but, you know, he didn't have the best greeting. I always share this and harass him, you know, and I was introduced to him by my friend, and he was just sitting back after the revival, and it's like, hey, this is my friend Mike. This is Pastor Randy. Hey, how's it going? And that was pretty much it. And so after that, I get invited to their church, Full Gospel Assembly of God in Bell Gardens, California. And I go to this church, they invite me to go to the church. So I go for this first time. I've never been in a Christian evangelical church and didn't really know what to expect. And I walk in there, and this time, you guys, I'm hungry. Why? Because I'm reading, I'm praying, and I'm listening to godly things in my head. And I'm just like, I'm in love with God right now. Don't totally understand it all. I just got saved, just came from a revival. I come into church, and then I walk into this place, and people are clapping their hands, and people are singing, people are standing to their feet, and they're praising God, and their hands are lifted. I'm like, wow, this is pretty great, and I'm loving it. And I'm in there, I'm clapping my hands because I'm in love with God, and I'm clapping my hands, and then we all sit down, and Pastor Coleman McDuff, I don't know if you ever heard of the McDuff brothers, but Pastor Coleman McDuff was one of the McDuff brothers, and he was an evangelist. So you can imagine, he comes up to the pulpit, and he is just preaching the Bible, and he's yelling and shouting and crying out to God. I'm like, wow, they teach the Bible here. They love God here. They're excited about Jesus, and all of this is just filling my life, and I'm getting excited about it. Like, this is the place for me, and my life is transforming, and my life is changing. And from there, I get a little bit more involved, and now I'm involved with the youth group and on Wednesday nights, and that's where Randy ministered. Of course, he was the youth pastor, and it was just a tremendous experience. But now, I am so loving with God. I mean, I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm learning what devotions are, and all of a sudden, I start to learn about these televangelists, and I'm listening to these guys on TV, you know, people like Oral Roberts, you know, from Oral Roberts University that Scott had just mentioned, and he was an evangelist in his prayer tower, and Jimmy Swaggart was another one. I know he had some trouble, but Jimmy Swaggart was an influence in my life, and then Charles Stanley is one of my favorites, and just ministered. So here's this young guy, new to Christ, and I'm just getting fed Jesus. I'm pushing away everything else out of my life, and I'm just hearing Jesus in my life. And all of a sudden, I'm in college, and I'm thinking, I want to be an engineer. You know, I want to be a civil engineer. And all of a sudden, the Lord starts tugging on my heart, and I'm feeling like, I think I want to do this full time. And I remember that day being on my knees, and I was frustrated. I was like, Lord, you got to tell me what we're doing here. I'm spending all this money on college to be an engineer, and you're tugging on my heart. And I don't get it. And so I continue to pray and pray. And I remember one night being in youth group, the lights are down, and the music is playing. I'm like, God, you've got to tell me what we're doing. And I felt really good about going into ministry for the first time, but I was like a Gideon. You know the Gideon story? You know, God had this great plan for Gideon, and Gideon thought, maybe I can do that. I don't know, but God, would you give me some signs? And so you know the Gideon story about setting the fleece out and dew being on the fleece and not on the ground and all that. And so I did that because I need flashing lights to know, you know, what to do. And I said, God, if you'll have four people come up to me and somehow allude or to say that, you know, I believe God has got something greater for you. And that was my prayer. And so sure enough, I mean, you know how it all played out. I can remember two of them. I remember one time, it's so crazy how God works. I take one of my animals to the veterinarian. And it's called, the veterinarian is called Noah's Ark's Hospital. So of course he's a Christian. And so the guy's looking at my cat, you know, and he's like, you know, it's great being a doctor, but there's nothing greater than being a doctor of people's souls. You know, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna take that as one of them. And little by little, it only took a year, three other people came to me, and one of them said, I know God has called you to something greater and something bigger. But I had to take a step of faith, and I had to say, God, okay, I believe that you are calling me to full-time ministry. It wasn't until maybe 4-5 years later. By this time, I'm getting pretty discouraged because it's like, Lord, if we're doing this, what's going on here? Well, things started to play out a little bit, and by that time, I had found my wife. And we're running short on time, but I'm going to go a few more minutes, and I can't leave my wife out of my kids. And by this time now, I'm not thinking so much of ministry, but I'm 24 years old. I'm thinking, you know, I think I want to settle down. I've had enough fun in life. I want to settle down, and I want to get married. And so I'm praying. I had learned as a Christian that you can pray for what you need, and God hears you, and God will answer. God cares. And so I'm praying, God, I want to get married. Lord, bring me my wife. Okay? And I got specific because I think our pastor, someone had shared with me that God is a God of details. And get specific with him. I said, Lord, I'm trying to remember all this, but I remember, Lord, bring me a Latin lady. Curly hair. And I remember praying those few things. And I can't remember the time span from that prayer. And since I can't remember, it must have not have been very long. But one night, I'm in youth group on a Wednesday night. I'm up front like I am now. I'm singing a song or doing something. And all of a sudden, this Latin beauty comes walking in the back of the church. And I'm like, wow, she's new. The only problem was she walked in with another guy. So, but you know, Pastor Randy has always said that all is fair in love and war. So I'm just like, well, okay. And I left it at that, and I come to find out that it was just a friend of Marjorie's. And I remember going to church and looking to see, is that girl here tonight? You know, and I would see her. We had discipleship training, and she would come on a Monday all of a sudden. I'm like, wow, she's committed to this place. And so little by little, we got to know each other. And there's a whole long story behind it, but we ended up getting married. And if we have that, you already showed that right there. You see how my hair is longer than her hair. Look at that. I remember one time in our church when they were going to announce our engagement, someone was photoing from the back, and we were walking forward, and I saw that photo. I saw the back side of me, and my hair was so long, I thought, I have got to cut that. So I cut my hair. I remember doing that. And so I met my wife, and so what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying to you today. Here is my claim. I don't want to say fame. Here's my claim to success. I'm praying. I'm reading. I'm staying faithful to God. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things started to fall into place. Amen. Amen. So I meet my wife, and we continue to pray, and then we get married. I know, honey, 5 years later, we got married. I just want to make sure you wanted to marry me, that's all. And so we get married. By this time, it's 94, and we get married, and I'm still praying about ministry, full-time ministry. God, come on. Is this going to happen? I remember being in tears, like, Lord, I'm ready to give up. But of course, I wasn't pursuing it. I was waiting for God to do everything, bring it to me. I want to encourage you today that we need to meet God halfway, and things might have played out a little quicker for me if I would have put in some resume somewhere, but I didn't. But God is so good that God had Pastor Randy Greer give me a call back in 95, just a year after we'd been married, and we were settled. We had a home. We bought a home. We were married, starting our new life together, and I get a call from Pastor Randy Greer saying, you know what, I'm going to become senior pastor of this church. I know you've always wanted to go into ministry. Do you think you would want to come and be our youth pastor? And I thought, oh boy, just bought a house. My parents helped me buy it. I'm thinking in my head, and I got to tell my parents, hey, I'm moving, you know, and all these things. And so fortunately, we had a month to pray about it. And so we prayed about it. We felt peace about it. And then, of course, we came here to Las Vegas to minister. And did you see what God has done in my life? Do you see how he has given all the desires of my heart? I don't know if my life is very exciting to you, but all I know is that I'm a blessed man. And all I can accredit it to is that I put first the kingdom of God. All these things that played out in my life, I just kept busy in the things of God. I didn't worry so much about all these things that I wanted, but I just stayed faithful. Like David in the back 40. You know, he was just a little shepherd boy, and he just stayed faithful, and he worshiped God and loved God and was committed to God, and he became a king. He wasn't seeking it. Maybe he asked about it. I don't think the scriptures doesn't say he did. But God saw the faithfulness in him. He put first the kingdom of God. He put first the things of God, and God added all the desires in his heart. And then a year after being here in ministry, we came on as youth pastors. Being here in ministry, we were blessed with our first bundle of joy, which is Morgan and our daughter Morgan. And then two years later, our son Lucas, and we have that picture. There they are right there. Not only that, but that house behind us is the first house that we bought here in Las Vegas. Didn't know how we were going to do it, and we had barely any money to do it, but God made a way, and we got into our first house, and we're still in that house, and that's our kids, and we are blessed today. I'm going to bring things to a close right now. I appreciate that day where Jesus made his triumphal entry into my life, and I don't know, I guess I'm just the kind of guy that I don't venture out much, and so I didn't find myself in a lot of distractions in life, and I didn't get myself into a lot of trouble, let's say. Maybe that's how I stayed faithful. But I want to credit it to the fact that I was someone who would pray every day, almost every day. Let's be honest up here. I would read almost every day. Even now, being in ministry 30 years, I challenge myself even more to read more in the Bible. Get Jesus in my head. Because I don't want to change. I want to stay faithful. Because it is a blessed life. It is a good life. I'm so happy to be a child of God and be a Christian, even though I know so many aren't. And sometimes it feels like what we believe is maybe some kind of fairy tale, but the scriptures help us understand that this is true. This is the truth. This is the way. Jesus is the life. And that's what we celebrate this week, this holy week, and it's a bittersweet time as we enter into that Good Friday, which is good for us but bad for Jesus, and went through that suffering and pain. But because of that suffering and pain, now we can celebrate our relationship with Christ. So my question for us this morning is, what does your triumphal entry look like? Do you remember that time when Jesus came into your life? Has a triumphal entry in your life ever played out? I want to encourage you, as you look at my life and how God has been faithful to this servant, God wants to be faithful to you. I'm no better than you. I'm not more special than you are. God loves you just as much as he loves me.